Okay, so just to revisit something that we discussed yesterday, good news. After the shiur yesterday, I saw that Reb Chaim Kanievsky in Das Neiter was asked about the widow's peak question, and he says that that is considered that it's in the Makom HaSeir. And I saw that Reb Nissim Kirelitz, it's brought from Reb Nissim Kirelitz in the Sefer Chutshani, that he says that if somebody has an unusually high hairline, we do not have to look at that person. In other words, let's phrase it differently. So if someone has a very unusually high hairline, we look at him like everybody else, and he can put the tefillin in the same makom as everybody else. Like what you were saying yesterday, that goes by the general shape of a normal person's skull. The hairline is just a simen. Therefore, according to Reb Nissim Kirelitz, if somebody has an unusually high hairline or an unusually low hairline, he would not, if it was unusually low, he wouldn't have the kula of being able to have it very low. And if it's unusually high, he would not have to be machmir to keep it so high. He could put it in the place where everybody else puts it. So that's just a note from yesterday.
Saying that the widow's peak comes down on the forehead,
so
the muscle, so he's saying that if there's no hair on the side of it up in the muscle, then you don't have to worry about it.
The pashtus is like the latter. Yeah. It's not explicit in the question or in the answer, but the pashtus certainly is like the latter. Yes. Okay, I think we're up to Sif Yud. Is that correct? Okay. It's not. Yeah, it's on. It's good. Okay. Tzarech shiyeh hakesher me'acharei harosh lamala ba'orif. The kesher in the back of the head should be lamala ba'orif. High up, the orif, I believe, is the neck, right? Is the translation of the word orif. So it should be high up. Yeah, I'm sure if it was a stiff-necked people, it's not a stiff, you can have two words for the same thing. Erif is the neck. Tzarech lechaben haktsitza shetehe be'emtza kedei shetehe keneged bein ha'enayim. The ktsitza, as we discussed yesterday, is the tower, for lack of a better word, right? The tefillin are comprised of a base and a tower protruding upward. So the tower should be Bein ha'enayim. The gam ha'kesher yeh be'emtza ha'orif. The kesher on the back of the head should be centered. The layat elakana elakan. It shouldn't be to the right or to the left. Vitzar sheheh hamokim shebekesher shenira ke'ein dalid letzad chutz. The kesher, if you examine it, when we refer to the kesher, we refer to it as the dalid or the square. Why is that? Because what we're looking at on the outside is a dalid or a square. But on the inside, it's just a mumbo jumbo of wires. It looks like, you know, the bottom of the computers with all those wires together. So that's what the inside of the kesher looks like. So that's what he's saying. The part of the kesher which looks like the dalet is the outside as opposed to the inside. Hagav huagdin the kesher shal yad tzarech shalo yishapich. So the point that he was making a moment ago with the dalet is that what appears to be the dalet should be on the outside as opposed to being on the inside. So too, by the kesher shel yad, where you have a yud, so it should not be inside out. The yud, sometimes you see people where the yud is like flipped inside out, and that's not correct. The yud should not be inside out. It should be visible and recognizable externally. Yud aleph. Tzarech she...
I thought the ketzitza here means the whole heftza of the body. And otherwise, you would read this as saying that only the ketzitza has to be in the Malchum, but the Keturah can go beyond the hairline.
He's not talking about the ktsitsa in reference to the hairline. He's talking about the ktsitsa in reference to Bein Einecha. So the ktsitsa is in the center of the titura. So if the ktsitsa is centered Bein Einecha, by definition, the titura will also be centered Bein Einecha. Tainu hach.
Right, so you're saying that the essence here is that there should be two parshas on one side, two parshas on the other side. That's,
if you want to use that nusach, you could, but the point is that it should be centered. That's the idea. Yud Aleph. Tzar Sheyia Hashocher Sheberetzuas Litzad Chutz. The black part of the Yerzua should be on the outside. Nowadays, it's very common to have double-sided black Yerzuas, so that makes this halacha more complicated. But it's not complicated. That's the truth. The black that he's referring to is the shiny part. Right, the Gemara says that Nayan Labar, the nice, the pretty part of the Ritzua is on the outside. That's referring to the smooth, shiny, black part. Just Agav, the Ritzua, the outside, which is shiny, is the outside of the skin, which is smooth, and the rough part, the inside of the Ritzua, is the inside of the skin, the hide. Right, so that's what he's saying. The external part of the hide should be visible. Tzar Sheyeh Shachar Sheberitzua is Letzad Chutz. And it should not be reversed. It shouldn't be inside out. Bein shel yad, bein shel roish. Whether the shel yad or the shel roish. Now this kpeda, by the way, which is very chomer, everybody knows, is fasting and all these kinds of things. It's referring specifically to the part of the ritzua that's on the head, that sits on the head, or the part of the ritzua that's mamish the kesher, right? That initial first revolution, right? But if the Ritzu over here, Lamashal, gets reversed, it's inside out, it's not like the greatest thing in the world, but it's fine. And similarly over here, if the Ritzu flips around, it's not the end of the world. This big, terrible kpeda of mamish that one is not yetsa and all these things is referring to the part of the Ritzu that mamish is the resting on the head. Yishal shel haritzua sheyu tuliyim lefanav. The ritzua should be extended downward in front of him. V'yagiu ad hatabur. It should reach the navel. Oyla malam imenu ma'at, or a bit above that. Period. Right. That's the length of the ritzua. The rashitas, which are brought here in the Mishnah Berurah, of what's the minimal length, what's the maximum length. If I remember correctly, I think it comes out that the minimum length of the ritzua shel rosh. It's very negeh for ritzua. Rips. So as long as it comes down 16 centimeters, I think is the shear, which is really not very much. It's still around here. So then the ritzua al piyikar halacha would still be kosher. But lechatchila, we try and have it going down on the right side until the mila, and on the left side, as he mentioned, until the navel, till the belly button.
Where did you get 16 centimeters from? What is that?
It comes from, if I remember correctly, it's the Malbim, and it's discussing over there. The emes is that today I didn't have time to look it over in advance, but that is the shear. That's definitely the shear. If we look around in the Mishnah Berurah, we'll find it. I think it's the Malbim also, the Artzis Achaim, 16 centimeters
from the Kesher.
Yeah, if I remember correctly. Reichav Haratzua Shel Yad Vishel Roy. Oh, the maximum? There's no maximum. You can make it as long as you want. Huh? It's not supposed to hit the floor. It's not covered for the ritzua to hit the floor. But it's not a problem. There's no maximum shear until the floor. If a person wants to have them as long as he wants, technically, that's mutter. Reichem v'ritzua shel yad v'shel reish ka'erech sa'ira lefachis. The width of a ritzua, right? Till now we were discussing the length. Right? Yesterday we discussed the length of the shel yad. It should come down until the finger with three kriches. As far as the width of the ritzua, is ka'erech sa'ira lefachais. It should be at least the width of a sa'ira, which I believe is, according to Reb Chaim Noah, 9 millimeters, and according to the Chazon Ish, 11 millimeters. That's the minimum shear of the ritzua, and the standard ritzuas nowadays are 14 or 15 centimeter, 14 or 15 millimeters wide. So even if they stretch, the idea is that you'll still have the shear, although some people pull very hard on their ritzua, and you can get into shilas. But generally speaking, there's enough room. The Rambam gives the shiurim. The Rambam says that a sa'ira is a seven sa'iras, one next to the other, that if you make the cheshbon. It's the stand, the machlokes Reb Chaim Lahn and the Chazon Ish regarding the shiurim and Reb Moshe Feinstein, who's in between the two of them, it extends throughout. It's referring to etzbayis and amos and all the shiurim. And sa'ira is just smaller, but it's the same. The machlokes extends all the way down.
Don't say it's enough by a sheer chita.
Yeah, I think 7 millimeters. I think the tour, I think they bring from the tour that if it's as little as 7 millimeters, so it wouldn't be considered, you would still be able to make a bracha on it. That's, if I remember correctly. In piches mishir erecher etzuis v'rachban, if one has, so this is what we were just talking about, if one has less than the sheer, so I would imagine that in the Mishnah Berurah here, he's going to say not to make a bracha, mem gimel and dalet. Yeah, believe bracha. Mem dalet, Mishnah Berurah says, in such a case, it would not to make a bracha. Tefillin shel rosh, toiv liyosam gluyim. Tefillin shel rosh should be visible. Venirim. Aval Talmud b'fnei Rabbi ain derech eretz legalis tefillin b'fonim. So we were talking yesterday that the tefillin shel yad, it says v'haya l'cha l'ois, l'cha v'loy la'acherim, should be for you but not for other people. And there's a kepeda that the tefillin shel yad should be covered. Also, this is another thing, people are not necessarily aware of this, and it's very negeya also, people who daven wearing short sleeve shirts and without a jacket. So the tefillin amamish, tefillin shel yad is goloi. And it's not correct. The tefillin shel yad should be mechusa. Mash Enkin, he's saying the tefillin shel roish should be goloi. As opposed to the titura?
The titura as opposed to the straps.
The straps is not the issue. The issue is the ketzitza and the titura usually goes together. Yeah. Aval Talmud b'fnei Rabbi, ein derech eretz legalis tefillin b'fonav, but a Talmud in front of his Rebbe, it's not covered. It would be like gaiva to have his tefillin goloi in front of his Rebbe. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't mention this, but I believe that today, I think it's pretty obvious that we're not really makbid on this. I guess what's considered derech eretz and what's not considered derech eretz are called kefi ha'inyan.
The
Ramat
disagrees with
it. Oh, very good. Okay, so let's see. So he says that the shalyad, there's no kpeda if it's goli or mechusa, but the Mishnah Berurah says lechatchila it should be mechusa. Okay. V'nirli the ashav she'ein manich ne'el b'zman kriyish ma'atfil afil talmud v'nei rabbi yachal legalis. Oh, there you go. Af b'shal roish v'chein aminik shalei lizar. Very good. Fine. So that's that halacha. Chof Ches. Din chalitzas ha-tfilin. Chayev adam l'mashmesh b'tfilin b'kol shah. A person should constantly be aware of the fact that the tfilin are on him, and he should touch his tfilin or move them around to remind himself that he's wearing tfilin. I can say I once davened Shachris by Rav Nissim Kirelitz, and mamish the entire davening. He was constantly... he was mamish makayim this din kipshutai, the kol shah. Every couple of minutes, he was constantly touching his tefillin and readjusting his tefillin, and he was very medactic on this halacha. Shaloi asiyach daitei mehem. What's the purpose? The purpose is because a person can become, he could just forget about the fact that he's wearing tefillin, and we don't want that to happen. A person needs to be conscious of the fact that he's wearing tefillin and being mekayim a mitzvah. So a person should be mashmish b'tefillin v'kol shah v'yimashmish b'shal yad tchila u'kshayimer u'kshartem lo'ayis al yadecha yimashmish b'shal yad u'kshayimer v'hayil etaytofis b'neinecha yimashmish b'shal rosh. So I think we're all familiar with this. Many people have the minhag to kiss the tefillin but the point, the purpose, and the point of all of it is that a person should not be meisiach das from the mitzvah of tefillin. Tefillin shel roish chaylitz tchila. When taking off the tefillin, one takes off the shel roish first. Mishum dechsev chaylitz haytafos bein einecha. Kol zman shebein einecha yushtayin. As long as the tefillin are on your head, you should have two pairs of tefillin on you. So what that means is that we don't want to take off the shel yad first, because then one will only have the shel roish on alone. Now, just to point out, this is obvious, but we mentioned a couple of days ago, let's say a person only has a shel roish. So one would have a havamina, he shouldn't put it on, because you're only supposed to have the shel roish on when you have the shel yad on. But lamaisa, if one only has the shel roish, then of course one should put on the shel roish. It's a din lechatchila that one should have the shel roish on when he also has a shel yad on. So this is negeya to another thing, which we also discussed, I think, yesterday or 2 days ago, about a person who has a certain level of being ambidextrous. So he's going to put on tefillin after davening. We said, on the other hand, if somebody has that chumrah, so there are those that want to say that he should take off his shel roish also, because if he's going to take off his shel yad to put it on his other hand, he's going to be stuck in a situation where he only has his shel roish on. And that's not appropriate. One shouldn't have a shel roish on without a shel yad. So therefore, there's a tzad to say that he should take off his shel roish, then take off his shel yad, then put a shel yad on his other hand, and then put his shel roish back on. But lemaisa, I saw that all the paiskim say that one doesn't have to do that because apparently because it's just for a second. There's no hesach hadas. It's not the pshat. It's not called that he has it on without the other one. He's in the midst of the process. I once saw somebody doing it, and when he took off, right before he took off his shel yad, I saw he stuck a credit card under his tefillin shel roish, right? To create a chatzitza or something. But again, the place can say that one doesn't have to do that. But anyway, it's a good question. I was actually wondering the same thing. If there's tasav elayim and osli, because when you're just pulling it out, so the mitzvah snaps back into place. L'maisa by tasav elayim and osli, there's a machlekes. We paskin meikar adin that if the asiya, if the initial asiya was done beheter, then there's no tasav elayim and osli. Tasav elayim and osli is only when the initial asiya is done with tasav elayim and osli. So, yeah. So, okay. Be that as it may. So back to this halacha. Tefillin shel roish chaylitz tchila. One takes off tefillin shel roish first. Mishum dechsev chaylitz haytafes bein einecha. Kol zman shebein einecha yu shtayim. Tzarech lachlis tefillin shel roish me'umud. One ought to remove the tefillin shel roish standing. V'yaniach betik shel roish, and he should put it away. V'olav shel yad. So that when he comes to take his tefillin out, he should take the shel yad first. And there's a lot of discussion about this because what does it mean? Va'olav shel yad. So I think the Mishnah Berurah is ma'arich about this. It can't mean kepshutai olav shel yad, that the shel yad should be on top of the shel resh, because shel yad is not allowed to be on top of the shel resh, because the shel roish is more kaddish than the shel yad. So since the shel roish is more kaddish than the shel yad, either you have to have them side by side. Olav, I think he explains that olav means that it should be closer to you. It should be arranged in a way that what's nearer to you is the tefillin shel yad. But one should not put the tefillin shel yad on top of the tefillin shel roish, which actually, I'm not trying to get into any politics of any sort, but there are tefillin cases, tubes, whatever, with a screw thing on top, which are arranged in that fashion. The water ties for the army is different. It has different milas. So I'm not taking away the milas that those cases have. But one big chisaron that they have is that mamish, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to put the shel yad on top of the shel roish. Now, sometimes they have like a handle So you can hold it in a way that it's horizontal. So that's fine. If you're holding it in a manner that it's horizontal, there's no problem. They're side by side, and that's okay. But generally, when you're inserting it, it has to be upright. You put the shel roish in first, and the shel yad on top of it. Chayr is not so poshut that there's any hetter to do such a thing. It depends how it's created. I'm sure you can make some sort of patent where it would be okay, like a split level thing in a chanami, that would be all right.
The Mishnah brings actually from the Abraham of the Bach, Dafka to do it like that.
Like what?
It says, but the Ayin Shia said, Tik Aroch, Mitzar.
Yes, so Lamaisa, we don't do that. He brings the other minhagim also, and the minig Lamaisa, we do it side by side, and that's Paik Chazay Me'am Adabar. It's certainly also, according to many Achreinim, it's a davar that's Lamaisa, we paskin that one may not put a Shal Yad on top of a Shal Rosh. It's not something that.
Also, one that's in the tick, the plastic bat. Maybe it reduces the
shayla altogether. Well, you're holding it upright and in that manner. It's not the correct thing. Two separate bags.
That would make it easy.
I hear. Okay.
Expensive.
Okay.
Come on. How much
okay. But there is one. There is a discussion, by the way, about this idea. Because we discussed a few days ago about Ein Mavir Nala Mitzvahs, right? So you have to touch, you have to come into physical contact with your shel roish first. That's the maila of these cases, right? Is that you there's no way to touch your shel roish first. So you're never going to get into a shayla of Ein Mavir Nala Mitzvahs. That's the big advantage of them. But lamaisa in a regular bag that most people use, there's a discussion whether the shel yad should be on the left or the shel yad should be on the right. Shel roish should be on the left, shel roish should be on the right. At the end of the day, there's a lot of different shitas, and it really doesn't make a difference. But just a technical ha'ar is that very often is totally in the direction that the zipper opens, right?
So you put your shel yad next to where the zipper is, where it's open.
If,
as you open it, the first place your hand goes to is the shel
yad. If that's the way you are. Some people, it's like taking a gun out of a holster, right? You don't have your, if you're right-handed, you don't have your holster on your right side, you have your holster on your left side, because that's more natural.
It's like Wild West.
You would have your holster on your right side? I think you're in the minority. So it's like a watch, right? Right-handed people usually wear the watch on the left hand. Okay, it depends on the person, but I'm saying some people, if they open a zipper to the right, their hand will go to the left. Trust me, gun also. Okay, but be that as it may, the placement of the shel yad and the shel roish is a technical issue, which is it's. Next, 100%. I love, yeah, that's what the Pais can say. I love over here means next to, but lamaisa. The point I'm trying to make is that people make a big deal about having the shel yad on the right or on the left in order to come into contact with it first. I'm just making the point that it's a personalized issue. Every person should place the shel roish in the mokim where his mitzias is that he'll touch it first. If that's on the left, let it be on the left. If it's on the right, let it be on the right. The person has to personalize the din to himself. If it's sideways or forward, no. Upside down for sure is a problem. Yeah, yeah, it shouldn't be upside down, but as far as facing left to right or, yeah, that wouldn't make a difference. There is discussion about the kesher of the shel roish, if it should be on the top of the case or on the bottom of the case. That there are different minhagim about. That is discussion about. Also on the shel yad, if you should wrap the ritzua around the kesher. Most people, I think, wrap the ritzua on the opposite side of the kesher. Right? So there are those that say that one should not wrap the ritzua on top of the kesher. But again, on these things, there are different minhagim. If you look in the Piskei Tshuvos, it brings a lot of different minhagim from a lot of rebbes and other places. So if a person has a minig, he certainly doesn't have to change his minig. But if someone doesn't have a minig, it's taka better to have the kesher on top, not to have the kesher on bottom. There is a minig to have the kesher on bottom. you have that minig, that's fine. But if one does not have that minig, it's better to have the kasher on top of the plastic. Minig ha-chachamim l'nashek ha-tfilin v'shas ha-nachasin v'shas chalitzasin. So minig ha-chachamim to kiss the tzitzis. I'm sorry, the tefillin, to kiss the tefillin when putting them on and when taking them off.
Whenever you think about the Mishnah, so that you don't have Pesach Hadas. Pesach Hadas is means not that you have to think about the Mamish every second, just that you shouldn't take your mind, you know, forget about it.
But he was Nisker Behem Tamid.
And also,
it's not a stira. He was always Nisker Behem Tfilin. Yeah, that's like the shlo that from 2 days ago, right? That the same that there's no hesach hadas b'shas tefila, and that those two dinim work in consonance with each other. Yeah. Chavtes, ein levarach shum bracha k'shechel it's tefila afilu k'shecholzim erev Shabbos bein hashmoshes. There is a shita in the Rishonim that holds that one makes a bracha when taking off the tefillin. So the mechaber is coming to tell us that we don't paskin like that shita. One does not make a bracha when taking off his tefillin, even if he takes them off Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes, right? He says, and he explains in Sifkat and Beis, after Kaimelon Shabbos V'yamtiv Lav Zman Tefillin, even though Shabbos and Yamtiv is not Zman Tefillin, and if he wants to put them on L'shem Mitzvah, he's over on Bal Tosif, nevertheless, right? Kevan she'im manichan olav b'li kavona l'shem mitzvah, ein b'zei yisim en ha-tayra, l'mi d'vei seifim, yisham gzera, shema, yetzim, etc., etc. B'kitzer, the bottom line is, we don't make a bracha when taking off tefillin, ever. Period. Zman ha-nachasan, when does one put on the tefillin? V'boiker, it's in the morning, mishayira es chaveiroi, harogel ima iktsas, b'richuk dalet ames v'yakirenu. So, the time of putting on tefillin is in the morning. What's called Mishayakir, right? Mishayakir, although by tzitzis it's Mishayakir ben tcheles lekarsi. Over here, it's when somebody would recognize his friend from a distance of 4 amos, which is around 6-7 feet or so, 8 feet even, according to the Chazanish, I think, and recognize him. That's
a later time than the Shabbat.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I have to look in the Luach. I don't know. It's probably later. I think it's later. Okay, I'm not saying anything because I'm not sure. I don't know. There is a tshuva. Reb Moshe has a tshuva about putting on tefillin in the middle of the night. I think he was talking about people. I don't remember. I have to look up the tshuva. I think he was talking about people. I don't remember exactly what the case was. I don't remember if it was labor camps or some extreme situation where they weren't able to put tefillin on during the day at all, and they had a shaila about putting tefillin on at night. And there's a famous tshuva for Moshe where he has a tremendous chiddush, and he was mad there that they could put on tefillin mamish in the nighttime. I don't remember the pratim, but it's a well-known tshuva with a tremendous chiddush for Moshe for extraordinary circumstances. Halacha beis, azal aneich tefillin belayla shema yishkechem. One may not put on tefillin at night because he may forget about them, v'yishan behem, fall asleep in them. And it's asur to sleep wearing tefillin. I struggled with this morning. Expended tremendous energies trying not to fall asleep with my tefillin on. I was very tired today. So this halacha, which is very negea, right? Aside from the fact that a person has to daven with kavana, but putting that on the side, you're not allowed to sleep with your tefillin on. If nicham kaidem shetishka achama, if a person puts on his tefillin before shkias achama, the choshcha olav, and it got dark, afilu heim olav kol alayla mutar. So this is also an important halacha. I mean, it's important for people who wear tefillin by mincha, and they're davening right before shkia, so you don't have to take off your tefillin when shkia hits. If your tefillin are on in the daytime, you can leave your tefillin on and you don't have to take them off. But ve'ein
morin kein. But we don't encourage it or tell people to do so. Im lo chalas tefillin misheshaka chama mipnei shelo hayala makom l'shomran. But if you did not take off your tefillin before the shkia, because you had no place to put them, v'nimtzu alav kedei l'shomran. So you're still wearing them into the night in order to protect them. Tar umorin kein. It's mutter, and you actually do encourage people and tell people to say.